Right. Closing off a series, if you've been here for the last few weeks, then you'll know this is the final part of the series called God Never Said That. I need a reminder. God Never Said That. And to me, and I think to most of us, hopefully all of us, it's been an amazing series. It's been revelationary, and it's been a foundation series. Because what could be more important than understanding what the Word of God actually says? And when I was thinking about this time together here, I was thinking about us, and I was thinking, I don't necessarily think that there's anybody here that would intentionally distort the Word of God. I think for most people in general, they want to bring the Word of God into people's lives so that it can set them free and it can bring them truth, and of course all of the other benefits of doing that by praying for people and things like that. But the truth is that sometimes if we don't understand what the Word of God says, we can unintentionally distort the Word of God. And so I'm going to be praying into that. I'm going to be preaching into that this morning. And what could be more important than doing that? Hey, Grant.
Hey, Andy, how are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, man. What's happening? It's so good to see you. It's so unexpected to see you come and stand here with me. I haven't seen you for a long time, man, and I just want to say you've been on my heart. Wow. I don't know why, but, you know, maybe is there something going on?
Yeah, man, it's just the struggles of life, you know, struggling a bit in relationships.
Sure.
Some at work.
Yeah, yeah.
Not too bad at home, but, you know, you still have this kind of struggle.
Yeah,
financial issues. Well, I'm sure you know
what
I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I do, Grant, and I don't think it's any kind of chance meeting that we should meet here today, and I just feel really to pray for you,
Amen.
And if that's okay?
Yes, go for it.
Great. So,
hallelujah.
So, Father, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
That you've crossed our paths here today, Lord. But
yes,
we don't understand what's happening in the background, Lord. Mm-hmm. But I want to say, Father, I just feel to say thank you, Lord, that you'll never give Grant more than he can handle, Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father, because you're a good God, Lord.
Yes, you are.
And
so
Lord,
good
in these relationships that he has, Father, thank you, Lord, first of all, that he understands forgiveness.
Yes.
But he also understands what the Bible says when it says forgive and forget.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. That right now he's forgetting those hardships, Lord, and he's forgiving those people. And Lord, when he does that, as he does that right now, Lord, thank you that you are returning his happiness to him, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because your highest priority is Grant's happiness, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, mighty God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And in saying that, Lord, thank you that he also understands that some things are unexplainable and that everything happens for a reason,
yes,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. That is
thank
very
you,
biblical.
Jesus.
And I feel like I'm Jesus standing here praying for him now, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that everything happens for a reason.
Amen.
Grant, I want to say, how does it feel, man? Do you feel
man,
really?
It feels so good. I am empowered
wonderful
to take on my
come
week.
On, Brad.
But you know what, Andrew?
Thank you, Lord. Yeah?
Man, something has struck a chord inside of me,
okay,
man.
Okay, okay.
So you said everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely.
So I got this belief, a friend of mine, who believed with everything that he is, that his loved one will be healed, was very, very sick.
Yeah.
But they passed away.
Oh.
So if you're saying that everything happens for a reason, what kind of reason does God have?
Oh, my phone.
Hey, listen, Andrew. No, please.
No, I have to take this call, bro.
Oh, Andrew, I'll see you again, Andy.
Okay, well, thanks,
right.
Thanks, Grant. Nice to see you. Thanks for letting me pray. Thanks, Grant. And so, of course, the point of that is to say that sometimes our connection points and our praying for each other can be very well-meaning, but are we really being biblical with what we are speaking to people and praying for inside of people? So I want to just recap the last 3 weeks and also the statements that were made in those weeks. God never said that life would stay within our ability to handle it, but he did promise his strength when we are overwhelmed. That was week one. Week two, God never asked us to forgive and forget. But he does offer us healing and freedom when we release bitterness and trust him with justice. Last week, Ryan shared a great preach on the fact that God's highest goal is not our everlasting happiness. He is forming us into people rooted in him and capable of deep and everlasting joy. And today, did God really say that everything happens for a reason? That's a question for all of us today. Sometimes in that statement, it may bring some peace inside of people. I'm not denying that. But it can also bring confusion, especially when people are in the midst of some deep pain or trauma. Everything happens for a reason can be a blanket statement that we use to try and explain away pain, which is not necessarily what God wants to do in that moment with that person. The Bible tells us that God is sovereign. It says it clearly in Psalm 115, verse 3. It says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. So that very much would emphasize the sovereignty, if that is even a word, of God, the sovereign nature of God. What does sovereign actually mean? It means this. It means he has ultimate authority over everything. It means that there's nothing outside of his knowledge and his control. And it means that he rules over creation with power and purpose. So here's a question for us today. If God is sovereign and in control of everything, why is life so difficult? Why does it seem sometimes so painful and complex? And I would love to ask for a show of hands this morning, just as proof to the question. If you feel that life is easy, if you feel like it's just like a box of chocolates, if that's you, why don't you raise your hand? Let's see how many people feel that this morning. Anyone? Oh my goodness, wonderful, brilliant. There are people. Can I come and sit next to you? Because I want to get what you have. I really do. So great, we have had two people that have raised their hand. I have to say, you are the first two people that I know that have raised their hands. And I want to say thank you, Jesus, for that, of course. But in general, most people don't feel that at all. Most people feel that life is very complex and very, very painful. And I think that the answer to the question often lies in this statement. God never promised that everything would make sense. But he did say that he would never stop working for the good of those that love him, especially in the midst of pain. In Romans 5, verse 3 to 5, it says, we glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. So in that, you understand that in the midst of the difficulties that we face, that there is a process of building hope through the shoring up of our characters, because it would point to the fact that if our characters are weak, that we are going to suffer because we don't understand what God is trying to do through the pain and the difficulty. And there's hope in the difficult circumstances of life. And before we move on to the first of my three points, I want to just emphasize again why this preach is incredibly important and why this message is incredibly important. Because as I said earlier, if we don't understand what the Word of God says here on a Sunday morning and in life groups, how are we ever going to be effective out there in bringing the truth of who God is to people? Because we're misrepresenting God's heart. So this is the place on a Sunday morning, it is a great opportunity not just to come and enjoy our coffee and being redeemed, which is amazing. Thank you, coffee team. It's incredible. But it's so that we can be equipped to understand the truth of what the Word of God actually says, so we can be effective out there. So I really wanted to drive that home. My point one is this. God is sovereign, but he is not the author of all suffering. When we realize, and when we say that everything happens for a reason, sometimes unintentionally what we are saying is that God causes everything to happen. But that's not biblically correct. It's true that God is sovereign, for sure, and in control and has ultimate power over everything. But he is not the author of evil, and he's not the author of suffering. So why do we experience hardship? Why do we experience pain during this life? And of course, there's many reasons for that, but I think the two that I wanted to highlight this morning to help us better understand this. The first one is this: we need to look back to Genesis, and we need to understand from that, as we know the story, that God gave a commandment not to do something. What did they do? They did the very thing that he suggested that he commanded that they don't do. And of course, generations later, where we sit now, in the decisions that we make, we still often make the wrong decisions. If you're a born-again believer and you have the Holy Spirit in you today, you will know that the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings in some of the decisions that you make and I make, but we still choose to make the wrong one. So it's no wonder we sit with pain and suffering when we continually make the wrong decisions. And then we blame God for it, saying it's your fault. And the second one is this, that God is a loving father. If you're a father or a mother here today, you will know that it's not good to use tactics of control and manipulation over your children. Of course, when they're 2 years old, you have to handle them differently to when they're 22. You have to have a different approach. But if your children are 22 years old and you're still using control and manipulation to lead and guide them, it's going to be a problem. Something's gone wrong with the leadership over them when they were 2 years old. So a loving father doesn't use control and manipulation. He uses love and correction, of course. And that's why the Holy Spirit is there. Because of these two statements, we can say that it doesn't mean that everything that happens is God's desire. There's a difference between what God allows and what God desires. You see, we live in a broken world. We live in a world that's full of sin. We live in a world where we have human choice and real pain. And not everything that happens reflects the will of God. Some of it just reflects the brokenness of creation. When Jesus encountered the suffering that he did, he didn't blanket statement it away by saying, well, I guess everything just happens for a reason. He didn't do that. He didn't blame God for it. When Jesus was standing at Lazarus's tomb, and he knew that he had the power to resurrect Lazarus from the dead, he knew that was coming. But interestingly, he stood there, as it says, and he wept. He cried. Why did he cry, friends, if he knew that he was going to be resurrected? And I think the truth lies somewhere in the fact that true love grieves. We grieve with people when they are going through trauma. We grieve with them. We don't enable them to continue through that, because we bring the truth to them about the hope that God has for us, especially when it comes to salvation, when people are grieving loss. When we rush to explain away suffering, we unintentionally sometimes misrepresent the word of God. And James puts it plainly in James 1 verse 13. He says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God does not orchestrate harm. He does not delight in pain. And he is not indifferent to suffering. You see, if you are a born-again believer and you carry his Holy Spirit inside of you, you'll understand that the Holy Spirit also grieves in those times. But he's there to comfort us and to guide us. Jesus is there to comfort and guide us. Yes, God is sovereign, but there's still human responsibility. There's still natural consequences. And, you know, the fact is, the reality is we live in a broken world. When we understand this and we have revelation about what I'm saying this morning, then it helps to protect us from blaming God for what we sometimes see as the negative situations that we find ourselves in. My point too is this: God is at work to redeem and weave good from brokenness. Isn't that a beautiful statement? That God is at work to redeem and weave good from brokenness. If you feel broken here this morning, I want to say that God is in the midst of that situation with you. Even if you don't understand why it's happening, don't blanket statement it away by just saying, well, everything happens for a reason. Scripture makes it very clear. God can use every situation for our good. And Ryan shared this as part of his preach, but I want to say that this is what I would call a tongue tip scripture. Okay, it's one that we need to keep sharp on the end of our tongue so that we can speak this into people's lives and into our own lives instead of sometimes going down a rabbit hole of thinking and blaming God. This is what it says in Romans 8 verse 28. It says, and we now know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So if you are a believer here today, in fact, even if you're not a believer, that God has a purpose for you. But for believers, he's working all things for the good of those that love him. If you love God and you're in a difficult situation this morning, I want to say to you that God is in that with you and he's working all things for your good according to the purpose and the plan that he has for you. And you might ask, well, I don't know what my purpose and my plan is. Gaze your eyes backwards or forwards. Sorry, I need to gaze mine backwards. Encountering God happens through a deep relationship. It happens through worship. It happens through life groups. It happens through Sunday mornings. It happens through encountering people and then asking God to work in their lives. He uses us as vessels, friends. And then, of course, your purpose is to help to mature people and make disciples. If you keep that as a primary purpose for your life, you will never run out of purpose. I've shared this before, and I want to share it quickly again. I sat at the end of my dad's bed before he died, and he said to me, even though he'd given his life to Jesus, he says, I'm confused now as I was when I was a young child about the purpose of my life. It broke my heart. Let's not be confused about the purpose for which God has created us. Notice that scripture says, in all things God works, not in some things. He's weaving redemption right now inside of people's hearts that you possibly are praying for, even if you can't see it. How on earth are they going to, you know, if I put their name down, is it really going to work? Are they going to find Jesus? Keep on praying. He's building your character in the difficulties. Maybe he's exposing unhelpful things that you don't want exposed because they're embarrassing. Well, I want to say that Facebook is a great example of the what we put on to show the wonderful lives that we have. I've seen stuff recently where, you know, the photos look amazing, but I know what's going on. It doesn't look that rosy behind the scenes because we want people to think that everything's okay, and we can't humble ourselves enough to ask for help. We can't even humble ourselves enough to recognize what God is trying to do. We just see it as pain and uncomfortable. But God's trying to do stuff through these things. I love the story in Genesis of Joseph. And we did a great series a couple of months ago. It was such a foundational series too. Just you see how God's hand has been weaving, you know, through Jacob and through his family and what looks terrible and these famines and all kinds of horrible things. You know, think about Joseph when he was betrayed by his own family. Have you been betrayed by your family? Maybe that resonates with you this morning. He was thrown into a pit by his brothers. How terrible. You know, he loved his brothers. He loved his family. They threw him there. And if that wasn't enough, they took him back out and they sold him because they thought, well, his point is him dying. Like, we can make a bit of cash off him. Like, isn't that terrible? Imagine what he was suffering inside that pit. But I want to say that God was in that pit with him. He knew that God had a plan. That's what kept him going. That's what kept him focused, laser focused. Is, I know you got a plan for me, God. It's unbelievable. You see, this is really the heart of biblical hope, is that God's power is greater than the chaos around us. It's a heart of hope. And I want to say that happiness, of course, God wants us to be happy, but it's not his highest priority. He'd rather that we had joy. And so joy and hope are linked together. You cannot have joy if you don't have hope. And I'm talking about a biblical hope, because that's what's going to sustain us through the complexities of life. Craig shared an amazing part of this preach on forgetting and forgiving and forgetting. And he highlighted the fact that when Jesus was resurrected, he still bore the scars. Why did he bear the scars? He bore them to remind him of how much he loved us and the sacrifices. And of course, so that we would look at Jesus and say, we can see the scars. I believe one day when we see Jesus, we'll still see those scars. And it's going to break us because we realize how much he sacrificed and how much he loved us. And we just sometimes try and explain it away with unbiblical statements. And so it's a beautiful thing when we get revelation about that. You see, this truth can set us free in two ways. We are freed from blaming God for our suffering, and we are free to trust God when we don't understand all of the details of what's going on in our lives. Faith doesn't require us to have answers to everything. In fact, the description of faith could be, faith is the belief in the unseen. In all things, not just some things, God works for the good of those that love him and have been called according to his purpose and his plan. And my third and final point, living in hope, trusting God, even when we don't understand. In any relationship, the depth of the relationship is determined by the depth of trust. If there's no trust in the relationship, there's no meaningful relationship. We've got to trust God through these things. So how do we live a life that's full when we face with the challenges that we do? How do we respond to people when they say, well, everything happens for a reason? And I want to say that I made that mistake a few weeks ago when I was upstairs in children's ministry. It just came out of my mouth without me thinking. When somebody was telling me about their hardships, I said, well, yeah, everything happens for a reason. So sometimes these things slip in, but I'm very careful now not to allow that to happen again, because there's revelation there. And that's why we're here this morning, because we want to receive revelation. an example of how to respond to that practically would be, well, we don't believe that everything just happens for a reason, sir or ma'am. We believe that God is powerful enough to bring reason to everything. God is powerful enough to bring reason to everything. It might take time. For Joseph, it took years. He only realized towards the end what God's plan actually was. But he stuck through faith and understanding that God had a plan. So here's three practical ways that we can outwork our trust in God. The first one is bring our pain honestly to God. Sometimes we deny the pain because we don't want to show weakness. There's people that God wants to put around you that can help you through the pain, right here at Grace Life Church. There's people that he wants you to encourage right now, people in your life and pain that they're going through. Psalm 34 verse 18 tells us, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you're brokenhearted, I want to say that says that the Lord is close to you right now. We don't have to pretend that everything's just fine and Facebook it and show that everything's fine, it's a facade, but we can't humble ourselves enough to be able to speak these things out with people. The second one is looking for God's hand in the midst of difficulty. Sometimes the good he brings isn't first seen. Like Joseph, who didn't understand what was going on, it was revealed at the end. And the third one is responding with faith and compassion. We don't explain away our feelings of pain by empty phrases. Instead, we walk alongside people and we share their pain. That's ultimately one of the things that God has called us to do. We don't just say, well, everything happens for a reason. You see, we serve a good God who ultimately is a healer. But as I shared at the beginning, part of the process is lamenting. We know in Psalms that the book of Psalms is divided up into five different sections. One of the sections is called the Psalms of Lament, where David literally is broken. And he's saying, God, where are you in this thing? Where are you? Are you going to hide your face from me? But God allowed him to do these, to go through these things, to strengthen him for everything that David he had planned for. He had to be strong. Like when Jesus went into the desert, the Holy Spirit led him there, but God didn't tempt him. But God knew that he had to go through this thing because he had this such amazing plan. Understand that the issues that you go through now, okay, are there to strengthen you because he has a good plan for your life. That's the honest truth, friends. And I'd love to ask us just to stand as we prepare to close this message off, but also this phenomenal series. Did God really say that? Sorry, Pam. When it's raining outside, maybe it's God's holy water. So we're going to pray a prayer this morning that I feel is an important prayer. And it's just going to round off the series. Don't forget, the series is called Did God Really Say That? What it ultimately is about. God never said that. That is what the series is called. Just making sure you guys are awake. It's about biblical truth. And it's about having our eyes wide open, okay, our spiritual eyes, so that we can be effective out there, so that we don't distort the word of God. We bring the truth into people's lives. So if you find it difficult or challenging to read the word of God, maybe you find it's just a little bit boring. I don't see how this whole thing knits together for me and in my life. If you want to be more immersed and drawn into understanding what the truth is, what God actually says so that you can be more effective out there. I want to ask us to close our eyes this morning. I'm going to be the first one to raise my hand because I don't want to misrepresent what God says. I want to be effective in people's lives. I really do. And I believe that the most of us here do. If that's you this morning, and I want to say all eyes are closed, I want to ask you not just to open the palm of your hand, but to lift your hand. God loves a faith-filled response. It shows faith when we do this, friends. Father, we pray this morning that as the series closes off, that we are no longer going to be, as Paul says, blown around by every wind of teaching. But Lord, that there's going to be an opening of eyes and a deep hunger and a desire to want to represent you well, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the four parts of this series that are going to bring completeness and wholeness and equip people that have raised their hands this morning to be effective in bringing truth to people. We thank you for your blood, Jesus. We thank you for who you are, Lord. You're a mighty God who has great plans for us. Thank you for biblical hope, Lord. And in the mighty name of Jesus, what do we say? Amen. Amen.